Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet UFO Continuum. Tonight, we are going to explore an ongoing issue and a very important issue, and that is the methodological investigation of UFOs and, more particularly, the abduction phenomena. Now, for years, the subject of UFOs has elicited a wide range of responses from the general public, the scientific community, and others. Most of this response has been negative. To most, the question is, how can any of this be real? The stories are so bizarre and strange, people being abducted from their beds at night, taken aboard a spaceship, and subjected to medical examinations and sexual manipulation. Then they are returned generally unharmed, but psychologically traumatized. Now, there's no single aspect of the UFO phenomena that has elicited a more polarized set of opinions, ideas, and discussion as the abduction phenomenon. According to well-known researchers such as Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, Whitley Strieber, and John Mack, the aliens are here, and their plans for mankind range from genetic manipulation to benign space brothers helping mankind to make the transition to a more peaceful world. But is this what is really going on? Now let's take a much closer look at this. What would you do if I told you that what we really know is very little? What would you do if I told you that what you think you know about UFOs and their occupants is not enough to make such claims as have been mentioned above? Make no mistake about this. Something is going on. Too many people have seen strange things. Too many government documents declassified by the Freedom of Information Act demonstrate a phenomenon with a high degree of strangeness that has baffled our authorities. Now, I suggest that we have a serious scientific problem on our hands. Part of that problem is that we are completely in the dark about what the true nature of this phenomena represents. I suggest that we are being influenced by a cult of personality to believe what UFOs represent based upon faulty findings and personal wishes, rather than hard, objective data and rigorous investigation to reveal the true nature of what UFOs really are. Now, this cult of personality is geared toward reaching into your pockets and taking as much money as they can and giving you pseudoscientific mumbo-jumbo and New Age philosophy in return, and it seriously misses the mark. I'm going to be here to tell you that science has not failed us yet. What have failed us are the personalities of this field who refuse to bring legitimacy to this research. Now, I know a lot of the people of you that are out there that are listening to this program are on the fence. You are undecided about what makes this subject and what this subject represents. I get a lot of calls during the week from people who would otherwise ignore this subject because of the crap that they read and hear, but they are impressed with the open and rational investigation that this program makes. That's why we don't invite channelers and New Age crystal wavers on this program. You want answers, and that is what this program is really about. Answering questions, questioning answers. Now, I have more important things to do with my time than cater to a bunch of hot oil massage therapists and feel-good space brothers techniques, and you should too. I'm not convinced at all that the aliens are here to help me. I am not convinced that there are aliens, but, again, there is something. Now, that's why we form MICAP. MICAP is the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena. My guests tonight are Dr. Greg Wheeler, a psychologist in Southern California, and MICAP's Director of Investigations and Abduction Research Coordinator. Dr. Wheeler is also the topic moderator of Paranet's Abduction Research Conference on our global communications network on the Internet. Also joining me tonight is Scott Scribner, a research associate of Dr. Wheeler's. Scott has a master's in psychology and religion and is working on a doctorate thesis concerning methodological principles and belief systems and how they work. Now, this is quite applicable to this subject. I have maintained for years that UFOs present a serious scientific problem, and I am not alone in this assertion, nor am I the first one to say this. There have been many, many others in the past, such as Dr. Jacques Vallée, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, founder of the Center for UFO Studies, and James McDonald, just to name a few. All of these men have serious scientific credentials and represent a cross-section of scientific thought on the subject. And these men were basically overpowered by the noise factor in this business, just as we are today. I have recently seen a paper that was authored by Dr. David Gottlieb, a Toronto, Canada MD, who has written a critical analysis of the methodological problems in research, in abduction research. Now, this paper was presented to a group of abduction researchers at a conference that was held at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 92. Although this paper focuses on the abduction phenomenon and does not address the bigger question of the reality of aliens and how we study that question, Dr. Gottlieb has said some very interesting things, like, for example, one, Dr. Gottlieb has seriously criticized the present data pool that we are working from. Now, this means that the databases of Dr. Mack, Bud Hopkins, and David Jacobs, among others, is virtually worthless where they stand today. We're going to explore that a little bit further later on. Dr. Gottlieb also states that there are serious deficiencies in the database that has already been collected. These deficiencies prevent the abduction research community from answering important questions of their own, not to mention the challenges of their critics. How can the approach to data collection be improved so the abduction phenomenon can better be understood? Further, Dr. Gottlieb states, for the study of the abduction phenomenon to advance, more rigorous scientific techniques need to evolve. These techniques must involve standardized, systematic collection of information that will permit testing of hypotheses. In other words, these techniques will give us the ability to question theories and assumptions about the abduction phenomenon. Using these techniques involves the risk of being proven wrong. What is wrong with the methods employed by the leading abduction researchers today? Well, in my opinion, quite a bit. Most of the cases that our conception of abductions is based upon is data that's retrieved from abductees via conscious recall and hypnosis. These two methods are very shaky for us to rely upon since we are dealing with another's perception of an incident. This is known as phenomenology. As David Hufford states, another's experience is always a reconstruction to be inferred rather than a fact to be directly observed. Simply put, just because Hopkins, Mack, Jacobs, and others bring us stories of aliens abducting human beings for genetic material or whatever does not make it true. Hypnosis is another tool that is utilized as the magic formula to unlocking the secrets of the universe. Does hypnosis accurately reflect the true experience? Well, according to Gottlieb, no. Gottlieb says, hypnotically refreshed memory is subject to suggestibility, confabulation, and memory hardening, producing confidence in both true and false memories in ways that normal memories are not. These factors make it impossible to differentiate a correct from an incorrect recollection on the basis of vividness, emotional strength, or any other factor. And while leading questions can certainly worsen the accuracy of a regression session, there is no evidence from the literature that the contrary is true, that is, that careful questioning ensures the accuracy of hypnotic recall. Now, Gottlieb has suggested, too, that those people thinking that they have been abducted and seeking out an abduction investigator brings a certain expectation to the investigation, both consciously and unconsciously, by the experiencer, thereby causing further problems for the accuracy of the memory. Consider that the images and symbolisms connected to this subject are found so prevalently in every aspect of our culture that it is no wonder that the popular description of the aliens as being greys are very similar to the Whitley Strieber version found on his 1987 copy of Communion, and that prior to that, greys were not too common in the descriptions. Now, this may infer that serious damage has been done to the ability to research this subject, and that the only way to separate the facts from the garbage will require a serious scientific study, and not that, as provided by weekend or parlor hypnotists, artists, and unqualified medical personnel, again, whose only agenda is to espouse Eastern philosophies as a way to get into your pocketbooks. So, In view of what appears to be hopeless, does this invalidate the possibility that there are aliens or space brothers? No. Does this invalidate the possibility that we are part of a cosmological Watergate? No. Does any of this invalidate Eastern philosophy? No. Does this invalidate the possibility that UFOs are real? A big no. All of these possibilities may be applicable, and they may not. We cannot keep putting the cart before the horse. What it does say is this, that unless we veer from our course, get away from the cult of personality, and launch a serious scientific investigation, then we are doomed to fail. We are doomed to flounder in the wash of the murky waters of ufology. What it means is that, yes, truth is stranger than fiction. The real mystery is perhaps much deeper than we first imagined. Now, before I go to my panel tonight, let me finish by quoting from Gottlieb once more. Gottlieb has strongly urged that there are a few basic, important, and interrelated features of scientific endeavors. Above all is, quote, public examination of all aspects of research, that is, methodology, raw data, inferences, and conclusions, and that it is essential. Social scientists have devised techniques to safeguard the confidentiality of subjects while allowing public scrutiny of the research data. Without full and complete disclosure, there can be no meaningful inspection of results, no constructive criticism, no improvement, and no progress, end quote. Now, this is but another of the problems in ufology and a common trait of the cult of personality. We are seeing this occur more and more in the field among the so-called researchers. There is no peer review of the cases. This has encouraged a UFO cabal, if you will, that works against progress, causing infighting and much confusion and disinformation. That is the focus of the program tonight, and the question is, can we overcome the problems of research methods? If so, how? So, when we get back from break, we'll pick up with my guests, Dr. Greg Wheeler and Scott Scribner, so stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. At every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more, available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Cassette tapes of previous shows are available for $8 each, or two for $12, or four for $20. You can also order Paranet memberships and subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter. Paranet, along with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, and the Paranet and MICAP logos, along with the beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to keep this program on the air. Call now to place an order or to get more information at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-6381.
The mystery of UFOs, strange lights in the sky, crashed saucers, alien abductions, secret military projects, government cover-ups, hoaxes, and frauds. We cover it all on the Paranet UFO Continuum. Now back to your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back to the program. Now, joining us live from Monrovia, California, is Dr. Greg Wheeler, and from Long Beach, California, is Scott Scribner. Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for being on the program. I guess before we go along too far, I want to make sure that the folks out there understand that I am not trashing ufology, although I'm pretty opinionated about the sad state of affairs that it's in. Greg, start off by telling us, your background and what's interested you in the subject of UFOs and abductions primarily.
Well, my background is that I started out in the physical sciences. When I first went to university, I was actually a physics major. My goal wasn't physics, though, it was astronomy. I had a lifelong interest in astronomy. And I am definitely a child of the space age. When I was in second grade, I first heard Sputnik, and that made a very big impression. In fact, that's when I sort of decided to become an astronomer. But I got diverted and ended up in clinical psychology. And, of course, along the way, I also expressed some interest in theological and spiritual matters, got an MA in theology as well. What really happened is that in my practice, I encountered individuals who had experienced very anomalous behavior, and as a result of trying to understand that phenomenon, searching the literature, it rekindled my interest in this particular phenomenon, and it's really taken off from there. What I've encountered, though, has been difficulty in trying to approach the problem in a way that is both scientific and avoids controversy in the sense of various camps that have been established. And that's what drew me to MICAP, because there I found an atmosphere that was very open and interested in all points of view without taking an ideological stand.
Mm-hmm. Now, from your perspective, Greg, can we overcome the problems of these research methods? And I know you've written a paper that has been published in the last issue of Continuum, Toward a Scientific Ufology.
Right.
But, you know, recap for us some of the things that you have seen from your perspective that need to be addressed in the research of UFOs.
Well, Scott and I both attended a presentation by Bud Hopkins and Associates. He's gone around the country doing this for mental health professionals, and that's where we started to talk about methodological issues. And the problem has been that there's a mixture of clinical level interventions, that means people coming into the office and you're trying to deal with their symptoms, using various techniques without really having a solid validation of what those techniques are doing, hypnosis being number one.
Mm-hmm.
Combining all of these methods and making assertions that really, frankly, as a human being as well as a therapist, are startling in their implication.
Okay. Which kind of gives us a good segue into Scott's interest. Now, Scott, you're working on a thesis paper that has to do with belief systems and methodology and that type of thing, right?
Yes, my interest, Greg and I have been exchanging views on these subjects for, I guess, almost a couple of decades now, and my interest is in the specific ways in which beliefs are formed and held psychologically. Dissertation topic is in the psychological implications of beliefs that events have occurred when there's no corroboration, outside physical corroboration of those events. And I'm particularly interested in the similarities between trying to work with narratives of UFO abductions and trying to work with narratives of childhood sexual abuse.
Okay, which is a very interesting and hot topic right now in the field.
In fact, I might say that both of us, while we were graduate students, did a study of a UFO cult as a project.
Okay. Guys, I want to hold you right there. Keep that thought. We'll talk about that when we come back from break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. When we come back, we're going to get into this investigation that my guest made into a UFO cult. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the troubles with phenomenology and how we're going to overcome that as well. So stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet. A winning combination.
Picture this. You're drawing a bath, but before you get in, add industrial strength cleaner to the water. Now add some weed killer and some fertilizer. Oh, and you know the motor oil you drain from your car? Pour that in, too. The idea of getting in water like this is unthinkable. Yet that's what our oceans, lakes, and rivers are becoming. Bodies of water dangerously contaminated. Not just by industry, but by you and me as well. But here's how we can all help. Use less toxic household cleaners and practice natural lawn care by composting and using fewer chemicals. And instead of pouring used motor oil onto the ground or into storm drains, simply take it to a gas station to be recycled. That way we can help our waters to be clean once again. And won't that be a welcome relief? Ah, clean water. If we all do a little, we can do a lot. To find out more, call 1-800-504-8484. That's 504-8484. Brought to you by the Natural Resources Defense Council and the EPA.
UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And once again, joining me live are Dr. Greg Wheeler and Scott Scribner. We're talking about the methodological problems with UFO research. Now, before we went to the last break, Greg, you were telling us about a UFO cult that you had investigated.
Yes, Scott and I both investigated fairly closely as a project to test out a lot of different theories about belief that had been operating for some time and in several cities, Los Angeles being one. And what we found actually is interesting and kind of probably added again to my background of why I ended up in this with this research interest, because clearly all the elements of the current UFO phenomenon, especially abduction, were there, I think maybe with the exception of direct abduction. Messages were being received, activities being taken to enhance the interaction with the alien direction. And a lot of very important decisions being made based on messages that were being delivered.
Such
as? I don't know in the end if the cult survived in as strong a way as it was back then, but it really was able to keep surviving despite questions like scientific validity, the impact it had on individual lives, and so forth.
Now, how can a belief system itself facilitate an understanding of the UFO phenomena, for example? You know, a lot of people say, well, what would constitute proof? And of course, you know, we say, well, we'd like to have a piece of the hardware.
Right.
But how would that still, you know, how would that still substantiate proof that we have visitors from, say, Zeta Reticuli unless we had actual interaction with them?
Well, I think that this is the reason for a new approach to methodology. There have been apparently reports of objects found and so forth. None of them survive. It's rather distressing. Steps are never taken to absolutely assure the security of such items or biological specimens and so forth. Of course, there's a lot of talk now about a certain taping that may have gone on at Roswell and so on. There's very little to go on besides the assertion that this is a tape of a particular incident. But I think more broadly, what we're talking about is incorporating not just psychological techniques. That's been a big criticism, like a psychologist trying to dictate research. That's not it at all. It's that it involves very important psychological operations inside the witness. We have to understand those, but we also need to incorporate the evidence of other disciplines and to do it in a way that's public, to do it in a way that involves discussion between scientists and researchers, and to let the method as well as the results be scrutinized to improve it in a constantly refining sort of process.
Now, you mentioned multidisciplinary. What does that entail?
Well, for example, a sighting might occur contingent with an abduction. Let's say that there's a radar blip. Let's say that there's photographs, other witnesses, particular weather conditions, seismological activity that could be associated. So you're talking about bringing in people with specialties in all of those areas to look at the data that's produced along with, say, the abduction recollection. One thing that's always concerned me and that I wish we had more data on, and again, maybe some researchers do, but it's not public as far as I know, is the stigmata that go along with abduction. I've never seen a biopsy of a scoop mark. I've never seen a cytological review or a close microscopic examination of these marks and to try and figure out what they're caused by. Blood workups and things like that are not available to public researchers.
Okay. Scott, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, a couple of things. One is that when you started out your question, you spoke about the whole idea of a belief system in UFOs, and then I think the next topic that came up with was whether we would find a pair of hardware and so on. It's in part a belief system about a certain thing that sets you looking for specific kinds of things, like hardware or something else. If you found a piece of hardware on the ground without any particular belief system and you just told yourself you would kind of keep investigating this because you really didn't have a context for it yet, that would be a very different kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main subjects I'm interested in is the role of memory in these abduction narratives. I find it very interesting that the American Psychological Association and the American Psychiatric Association have taken clear positions based on research that there is no reliable method to distinguish between a memory of a true event and a memory that occurred from some other processes in the mind. And it's in the context of positions like this that go out of come out of solid research that really seems to contradict some of the claims that the abduction researchers are making.
Okay. Now, an obvious question comes up here with this. For example, now we all know who Dr. John Mack is. He was the founder, I believe, of the psychiatric department at Harvard Medical School. Highly respected guy for many years. Recently published a book that has caused a considerable amount of backlash among his peers. And although I don't agree with the methods that they're going through to at the Harvard University, which has made the papers, by the way, to basically try to revoke his tenure, how do you, you know, what do you do with something like this where there is a lot of criticism on the part of a professional in the psychiatric community who appears to have circumvented approved medical procedures to state a case? Does that kind of skew this a wrong way, or how does that influence the belief structures of the people out there reading this material?
Well, of course, he has immediate and profound credibility, given his credentials. And that is a problem because it does influence people based on that kind of a position of authority. And this is part of the reason. I think the greatest pitfall I could say, and I certainly don't know the intricate details of the issues that were pending against Mac, but I think that just from what I know, and having reviewed his book in an issue of Continuum, I really dealt with, I think, the part of the problem is ignoring the patient-therapist relationship boundaries. Now, I don't believe he's did that with any intent to harm the patient, but I think that the problem has not having a paradigm, a way of researching this, while at the same time dealing with the symptoms that often accompany the abduction phenomenon, has made him vulnerable in a way that I think doesn't have to be that way.
Now, can this imply, and this is one of my big questions, you know, is the way that things are skewed anymore in the research community, couldn't this imply that someone of his background and character possibly know exactly what they're doing and would know exactly what type of direction they're trying to send this off in?
Well, you know, you have to give someone also of this level of character and position as much benefit of the doubt as possible.
Okay.
That's what professional organizations are there for, to explore all the different sides of the question. But I really believe that the methods that have been used by a range of investigators and that use hypnosis, for example, or regression therapy, you're dealing with a process that is itself so unrefined as to call into suspicion all the evidence that's brought up by that method.
Okay, hold on to that. We'll be right back after this break. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Dr. Greg Wheeler. He is in California. He is a clinical psychologist, and he's also MICAP's Director of Investigations and Abduction Research Coordinator. And also on the line with us is Scott Scribner, who is also an associate of Dr. Wheeler's in the study of UFOs. So when we come back, we'll get into more detail about the methodological implications of this. We'll be right back. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
It's been said, the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers, investigators, and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions, valuable resources, and best of all, an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, citing reports, and much more, available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at Area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-429-2654.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These are free, pocket-sized guides giving you information about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio frequencies, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, and local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours, free. Ask the fixed base operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at area 303-669-1800.
Truth is sometimes stranger than fiction. Finding out the truth is the hard part. Join us in our search with the Paranet UFO Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And welcome back, my guests, Dr. Greg Wheeler and Scott Scribner. We're talking about the methodological downfalls, I guess, of UFO research today, and how we're going to go about putting things back together and trying to get some reliable scientific study brought to bear on this problem. Greg, before we went to break, we were talking about John Mack, and I guess where I was trying to go with this this line of questioning was, I'm trying to point out the profundity, I guess, of the research and what's going on, you know, today, and trying to show that perhaps when we're talking about belief systems and how they're structured, that you know, a lot of times people do rely on people with credentials, and you know, what they say is very important. But I think what's more important is trying to either veer off from that course and start a completely new study. I think that's probably what's going to have to happen. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that, and in fact, in this latest article in Continuum, I try to elaborate that. A research protocol has to be established so that we can start from scratch with a case where there's a kind of like a manual of operation of what to do. And that both the manual and the results of the research are available to the public to read, to make draw their own conclusions. This gets away from the cult of personality. This allows for everyone to independently decide. And of course, my own view is that if we're going to figure out the extraterrestrial hypothesis is true, it has to be something that everyone comes to a conclusion about or not. It's just a very, very important idea. Frankly, I don't think my life would be the same if I was absolutely convinced that we had contacted alien life forms. This is too important an issue for anything less than the very best kinds of research that can be done.
Okay. Scott, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I really agree with what Greg said, and I think that sometimes, as you know, Greg said in referring to his own background, we started out being trained in the hard sciences and then went into the social sciences and spent a lot of years studying research design, studying methods of argument, and when we're confronted with some of these so-called researchers' evidence and try to sort it out, it strikes us as being sloppy on such a level. But at the same time, because it has a more popular appeal, I don't know how easy it's going to be to tease out those two things to really call people's attention to getting back to systematic methods of inquiry. It's kind of out of the bottle now.
Now, I want to also add, too, I don't think that the scientific community, as it stands today, is also completely blameless for what's happened, because I know that you've got speakers like Dr. Carl Sagan, who basically poo-poo the whole idea of UFO research. And as a result, it seems like sometimes you'll see different disciplines of science, scientific thought, that are at odds with one another even. And I agree with Greg, what Greg says, that this has to be a multidisciplinary thing. And I think even for the standpoint of a metaphysical or a, a metaphysical angle as well. You know, we don't understand what mental telepathy is.
But no, yet, Mike, I'd like to say about Dr. Sagan, I can't say enough about how I respect both his credentials and his science. His article in Scientific American about this search for extraterrestrial life was really lucid. But I think he's the kind of person that I would hope could look at our methods that we're developing in our project and say, these are sound methods. He might disagree with what the conclusions are, but he could agree that the methods are sound. And if he felt some were not sound, it would be possible to have interaction about that. I really feel like something went wrong early on in the UFO phenomenon that really involved this idea that if it didn't involve national security, it wasn't important, or that national security was simply defined as whether UFOs might interfere with ICBMs. And the kind of disinformation campaign that seems to have gone on, either through, you know, choice or through too simplistic a view, this famous swamp gas description by someone who actually thought maybe there might be some substance to the phenomenon. That kind of twist and direction, I think, really put us off track, and we have to get back a sense of credibility that real people in real life situations are having experiences that are profound and not to be dismissed.
And I think that's
the best of science that can be done with just the same sincerity as if a person presents with depression or post-traumatic stress disorder of other causes. This phenomenon needs the same treatment.
I agree with you, and I think that's probably one of the founding reasons or the foundations of the reasons that I myself formed my CAP a couple of years ago was because I was frustrated at the lack of scientific attention to this problem.
Yeah.
I've always believed that there's something going on, and you know that something is there. There is definitely a signal in all of the noise. But, it's been a real tough road because you seem to be battling so much of this thought that is based upon faulty evidence. And
right.
I guess that's we've got to start over somewhere.
Right.
You got anything to add on that, Scott?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, Greg mentioned that we went to the Intruders presentation in Los Angeles, at which some very interesting clinical data having to do with diagnostic categories and personality types who were experiencing this thing was presented. Greg and I and a couple of other psychologists sat down and, you know, went through this information, and I drafted a rather detailed letter to the presenters outlining things that we thought that they might have overlooked, things that were fairly obvious that could be taken, and shipped it all off to them in the interest of further collaboration, and got exactly no response whatsoever.
Well, yeah.
So it's a little surprising that some of what they're doing takes the form of science, but they really don't seem to get into a dialogue.
And I think this is also one of the points that that Greg has pointed out in his past writings. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the next issue of Continuum is now out, and you'll be receiving it fairly soon. And if you haven't subscribed to it, you might want to listen and take down the address and the information that you'll hear next break regarding it. Greg Wheeler is a regular contributor and is going to be talking more and more about this and what direction that MICAP will take in it. We come back from break, we'll wrap up by getting some addresses and ways that you can get a hold of our guests and further dialogue on this subject. Or if you've had an experience or would like to make contact with someone to talk about a sighting experience that you've had or an encounter, we'd love to hear from you. So stay tuned. I'm Michael Corbin, and this is the Paranet UFO Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the outgrowth of a worldwide communications network that specializes in paranormal phenomena. And every issue, it gives you a global perspective on the UFO enigma. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. Subscribe now and get a free catalog of UFO news articles, files, documents, sighting reports, and much more available from Paranet, the world's foremost electronic network of the paranormal. The catalog is a $5 value, but it's free with your $18 one-year subscription to Continuum. You'll also get $15 off your first catalog order of $20 or more. Available by print, electronically, or by fax, with a small additional fee. Continuum is also available by fax. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-387-2001. That's 800-387-2001 for Continuum.
Radio,
the sound of your life.
Radio,
hit the dial, stay a while, sing along
with your favorite song.
The fun contest, all requests, on the air, everywhere. Check the time, check the dial, get the news when you choose. Swapping views about the news on the air everywhere. Of course, your favorite team's on radio. Another score, the crowd roars.
On the go radio, radio,
the sound of your life.
Radio, radio,
the sound of your life.
Listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And we're at the end of the hour again, as usual. Not enough time to cover all the material we wanted to originally do. Greg, give out your information as to how people on the computer network, on internet, or however can reach you.
Well, there are several ways. Of course, the way that we're hoping people will choose is to join MICAP and log on through the direct Paranet BBS. I think you gave out that information. There's also a user group, I think it's Alt Paranet Abduct.
Yeah, it's alt.paranet.abduct.
And And I check in there fairly regularly. Some weeks I'm not as good as others, but I do read all the messages and respond to those that are of interest. And it just really gives a lot of open discussion about what's going on.
Okay.
And I should also say, too, that if anyone is interested in contacting myself or any being involved in some research, to contact MICAP directly yourself and the Paranet offices, and the proper person will be directed their way.
Okay, very good. And that number, by the way, for everybody out there is 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654. Greg and Scott, I want to thank you very much for being on the program tonight. I'm sorry, again, an hour just doesn't cover it all, but thanks for being on the program. We'll check back with you in the months to come, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Now, for those people in the Denver and Fort Collins area, I want to let you know that this coming Thursday night, May the 11th, is the monthly MICAP meeting here in the Denver area. These meetings are open to the public, and they're being held this particular month at Poor Joe's Coffee House at 970 Lincoln Street. That's 970 Lincoln Street in Denver. It's a coffee house. That's another place where I hang out, too, if anybody wants to come in there for coffee. I'm usually in there in the evenings, and we sometimes will sit around and talk about this crazy stuff. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, and my thanks go to our producers, Brian Wood, Greg Barman, and Daryl Bear, for making this program the success that it is. So, until next week, I'm Michael Corbin, telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.